The Warrior Soul podcast is written, produced, and edited by me, Chris Albert. Our goal is to empower U.S. military veterans to live their absolute best lives. And we do that by providing tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas that they can apply into their lives to become wiser, stronger, smarter, more resilient, and more capable human beings in the civilian world. If you're not a veteran, stick around because anything we talk about here can obviously apply to you. And if you like what we have to say and the information we provide and the guests we bring on, please head over to iTunes and write us a written rating and review. It really helps to spread word about the show and to get this helpful information into the hands of more veterans so that they can in turn improve their lives and shape the future of this country. This podcast is brought to you by the amazing, the wonderful F-Bomb Nutrition. They make awesome, delicious packets of fats. These are portable snacks that you can carry with you anywhere. It's so hard to find a low-carb snack out there, but these guys have done it. They got macadamia nut butters. They mix them up with chocolate. They mix them up with sea salt. They mix them up with pecan butter. They've got awesome meat sticks, and they've got these delicious cheese snacks that they put out there. Plus, they're an amazing company. They send boxes of this stuff out to the troops on the front line. It's not something we ask them to do. It's something they volunteered to do. So if you want to get some of the best low-carb, high-fat snacks on the planet, head over to www.dropanfbomb.com. Use the code WARRIORSOUL at checkout, and you'll get 20% off your first order. This podcast is also brought to you by the amazing, awesome people at Save the Brave. Save the Brave is an organization that provides camaraderie events for veterans. They do fishing events, they do golfing events, they do other sporting events, and they also do a lot of work to help Gold Star families. And look, we've all heard stories about veterans charities where the executive boards are taking these giant salaries, and I don't have a problem with that at all. But here's the thing. I want to make sure that whatever organization I'm talking about is doing amazing work. SaveTheBrave.org is doing absolutely outstanding work. Their board doesn't take any salary whatsoever, and they are having an amazing impact. They're focused on getting veterans to live their absolute best lives, and that's what this podcast is about, and that's why we wanted to work with them. So if you're interested in volunteering or donating to Save the Brave, head over to www.savethebrave.org and make your donation or your request today. Finally, this podcast is brought to you by Warrior Soul Apparel. This is a clothing company that I actually helped to start a couple of years ago as we were beginning the brand Warrior Soul. We've got some amazing t-shirts. We've got skivvy shirts with some pretty funny sayings on there, like, I love Jesus, but I cuss sometimes. We've also got some awesome hero shirts. We have the amazing Hard Times Breed Hard People series. And these are just great shirts that I've helped create. And they support the show. So if you're interested in getting some Warrior Soul shirts, head over to www.warriorsoul.shop. And finally, if you're interested in joining a new group that we are putting together here at Warrior Soul, a group for those who are looking to live epic lives worthy of epic obituaries, stick around to the end. We'll have some information for you to check out. With that, let's get into the episode. This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And we need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the very first edition of the Warrior Soul Podcast in the year 2020. 2019 was an absolutely outstanding year. We brought you guests such as Mr. Robert Greene, the author of The 48 Laws of Power, Mr. Grant Cardone,
Nick Koumoulatos, Vincent Rocco Vargas, Donnie O'Malley, and so many other amazing guests. And the year 2020 is going to be even better. And we are starting it out with a bang. Today, I am bringing you Mr. Pat McNamara. Pat served as a special operator in a myriad of different Secret Squirrel organizations. And if you check out his Instagram, I highly suggest you do, T-Max Inc. on Instagram. It's one of the best pages out there in terms of training, in terms of basic knowledge for being a man, and in terms of personal protection. He's putting so much great information out there. And he's also the author of a book. The book is called Sentinel. It details how you can be the agent in charge of your own personal protection agency. And he's also got a podcast. His podcast is called The University of Badassery. All of these are absolutely awesome, and so is Pat, and so is this conversation. We talk a bit about Pat's history. We talk about what he did during his time in special operations, but more importantly, how he transitioned out, how he found himself, how he found a new mission, and how he's dedicating himself today to helping other people to be more aware, to become stronger, more capable human beings, and to become sentinels in and of themselves. This is an awesome conversation. Pat is a great dude. We are going to have links to everything that you can do to be involved with Pat, to train with Pat, to learn from Pat up on the show notes for this episode. And without further ado, let's get into this conversation with Mr. Pat McNamara. Hey guys, one more thing real quick. The Warrior Soul podcast has been going strong for 3 years. We've been delivering tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas from some of the smartest and most capable people in the world to help the U.S. military veteran community show up as the wisest, strongest, most capable versions of themselves in the civilian world. And I need to ask you this favor. If this podcast has helped you, if it has taught you, if it has motivated you to take charge of your life, I need you to head over to iTunes and write us a written rating and review. Our goal isn't just to put a show out here. It's to create a movement of veterans who are taking greater charge of their lives and also taking greater charge in their communities and this country. We want to help shape this country for the better. And I know that there's a lot of you out there who are concerned about the state of affairs out there. The more that we get this information into the ears of more veterans, the more we are going to be able to change things. The more we are going to be able to turn this community into what it should be, a community of leaders who are putting this country onto a better and stronger path. So this doesn't cost you anything. I don't charge you anything for this podcast. All I ask of you is to spread the word. Head over to iTunes, even if you don't listen on iTunes. iTunes is what drives the algorithms. So head over to iTunes or Apple Podcasts and write us a written rating and review. It helps so much to spread word about the show. Now with that, let's get into this awesome interview with Mr. Pat McNamara. Pat McNamara, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on. I was just on Instagram. I was looking over your dude stuff videos. They are absolutely awesome, man.
Bro, that was an epiphany that I had one night that has taken off like a firestorm, man. I mean, it has blown up. Yeah, just backstory on that. I was we had three appliances go out at once. Mm-hmm. And my wife was shopping online for appliances, and she found a set of four, you know, the microwave, the oven, the dishwasher, and the refrigerator. I said, let's do it, because the other one's going to ship them in pretty soon too. And she said, yeah, we can have so-and-so install them. And I nearly crapped myself. I was like, Rebecca, I'm a basic dude, man. I can do that. There's things that a basic dude should be able to do. And she was like, really? I said, yeah, man, I could do all the guy things. And then I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know what? I bet there's a lot of guys out there who can't do basic dude stuff. And I started generating a list. And before I knew it, I had three pages full of just things that I think guys should be able to do.
Yeah, that's it's so important because I think more and more guys are growing up without that stuff. And, you know, one of the things that benefited me, aside from being in the military, but when I was a kid, I didn't have a dad or anything like that. I went to work in a hardware store.
And oh, perfect.
From working there, I learned about plumbing, hardware, lumber, fertilizer, everything. And it was like yep. one of the best educations I ever got in my life.
That's perfect. Yeah, too. Like, so I was born in the 60s and did my growing up in the 70s. And the beauty of that, growing up in that day and age, is we were bored out of our minds a lot, which meant we had to invent shit to do. You know, and we had to figure it out. I mean, I own a couple Generation Z kids, and they have never, ever, ever been bored. They've always, and you know, am I partially to blame? Hell yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. But they've always had electronics and TV and cable, and they've always known how to swipe right, and they have never been bored. So, all Friday, I can't wait. I'm going to pick my kids up. They have a half day of school, and my son's 16. And I'm going to give him a class on changing a tire. Because, I mean, before you drive, you should know how to change a tire. I mean, I bought my first car when I was 15. I couldn't even drive yet. So I'm looking forward to that. He doesn't know yet, but I think he'll dig it, you know. I think he'll really get into it. I'm just going to talk him through step by step. I'm just going to sit in an easy chair.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge thing because people think just about the car. They don't think, okay, what if I get stuck on the road for like 10 hours? Because we had that happen here a couple of weeks ago on Thanksgiving. I live near the mountains out here in California, and people got stuck on the pass for 8 hours without food, without blankets, in the snow, and they were just stuck there. And people were getting hypothermia, had to be rushed out of there and things like that. And it's just stuff people don't think about.
You know, and it's, I have a saying, we don't plan to fail, but we fail to plan. And when we do get it, we get experience. Experience is something we get shortly after we need it. You know, I have stuff in my cars. I mean, and it's not cluttered. I mean, but it's, you know, food, water, provisions, first aid, those kind of things. And then, you know, jumper cables, fix a flat, tire plugs. And it's not just for me. It's so I can help somebody else get out of a bind too. I mean, I never want to relinquish an opportunity to be Batman, even if it is on a small scale.
That's your favorite superhero, right?
Yeah, man.
That's awesome. So, you know, we talked a little bit about your Instagram. You've created this amazing platform up there that between physical culture, dude stuff, as the other one you do, the director of your own private personal protection agency, lots of tips up there. Can you just give us a quick synopsis of your background? I'm pretty sure most of our audience knows who you are, but a quick synopsis of your background from your time in the military up to what you're doing now.
Yeah, so I did 22 years. It was all special ops time. I was fortunate in that it was SF baby to an SF group to a couple Cold War jobs. And then when the Cold War stopped, I went to the unit selection, and I was at the unit for 13 years. I retired in 05. Started working under a corporation. You know, I was picking low-hanging fruit coming out of the military. And then fortunately, I ran into some bad luck, and I got laid off, which was a good thing, you know, because that helped me reestablish myself, who I am, and gave me an opportunity to journey in a different direction. So I built T-Max in 2010, which is basically a training company, tactical. I say I like to train badassery, so I teach shooting, fighting, close quarter battle, combat strength training, that kind of thing. And I've been working under that ever since. And then, you know, I've got a couple other businesses as well. So I'm busy.
That's awesome. And, you know, you were in the military, interesting time, you know, over 22 years, the world changed a whole lot. You went from the Cold War to, you know, the 90s to the War on Terror. And I was looking at a picture of you on Instagram in front of the Berlin Wall as it was falling down. You had a mullet and you had the 80s mustache going on and things like that. I mean, what was that transition like? What was it like being in during that time period?
You know what? When you're there in the moment, I guess you really don't think about it. You know, it just, here's another component and portion of my job in another day and time. I started thinking about it more when people were at, you know, once I retired and people asked me about my career. And I'm like, damn, man, I had a pretty badass, cool career. I was freaking extremely lucky, you know, to have been a part of, you know, peacetime Army, Cold War. I mean, all of the cloak and dagger stuff in the 90s, the GWAT in the early 2000s. So, you know, I was just very, very fortunate. So during, you know, while it was going on, you know, I never really thought about it. Just day-to-day activities, another job, another time, another shithole in the world, and rock and roll. But, yeah, it's fun to reflect. I'm not one of these rest on your laurels dudes. I hate those guys, but it's neat to reflect, especially when people are interested, especially if they've never been a part of it. You know, if they've been maybe a civilian their whole life and they were interested in military history and special ops and stuff like that. It's nice to talk to them about it because I could see how interested they are, you know, and it's to them, it's riveting. It's just fascinating. It's spectacular. It's mind blowing. So that's nice to talk. It's nice to talk about it.
Yeah, it's interesting because you literally got to be like a witness to history in a lot of different eras. And that's the amazing part about being able to serve. You know, no matter what role you play, you're participating in history in many ways just by being an extension of policy. I also heard you got a lot of injuries early on in your Army career, and that was something you throughout your time in, right?
Yeah, man, you know, I tell you, people always ask me about to like write a book about the military, you know, my military experiences, and never will I, because I think the perception is that it was an easy go, you know, that I just breezed through that, you know, this illustrious special ops career. But damn, man, the amount of hurdles, I could write a book on how many times I failed. That would be an interesting book. But the injuries, yeah, my first one, I mean, you know, when I was, before I was 18, you get the regular injuries, you know, a broken bone and some road rash, those kind of things. But I'd never been hurt. And the first time I was hurt was in jump school. I was a toad jumper. My second jump at jump school, where the static line went under my reserve, around my arm, pulled me. I was one of the first ones out. And that's Fryer drop zone. That's like, I think it's like a minute and a half long drop zone. It's ridiculous. But I was one of the last ones to land because I was towed behind the C-130 and thankfully it came loose. It came undone because there was no way I would have had the right mind to like pull a reserve or anything like that. When it came undone, my chute did deploy. And I remember thinking, damn, I mean, I was going into shock quick because I broke ribs, concussion, dislocated shoulder, and pulled my bicep down in my forearm. So the pain was good enough to, you know, cause shock to set in, but it was still extremely painful. And it was such a foreign feeling getting like a real injury, you know, not stubbing a toe or, you know, something. Cutting off the end of your finger, but like a real injury. And that was the beginning of a bunch of them because I had a bunch of broken bones on that one. It was a bad time to get hurt too because it was 1983 and Martin Army Hospital in Fort Benning was jam-packed with all these guys from Grenada. Yeah. You know, guys with real injuries, you know, like because they did all the airfield seizure jumps, 450 feet above the ground, and Then I got I blew out my knee once, and that pain was legit. You know, when you snap an ACL and you can hear when guys 50 yards away can hear that thing, that's legit pain. You know, that's pukey. Like, yeah, I'm gonna vomit, and I'm getting this. This hurts bad.
Yeah, I did that in high school. And then, I vomited all over the place. It was awful.
Man, that's a tough injury, and it's a tough recovery. Because you know when they open that thing up, it's like construction work, man. They're with DeWalt tools and stuff. Mm-hmm. So the way they fixed me was center patella tendon. So that hurt too because you got to take out those chunks of bone and stuff like that. But they were able to fix that up pretty good. And then I got called into work one day, and I used to drive a dirt bike to work through the woods, and I T-boned a deer going about 50 miles an hour. I mean, I was whipping through the woods, and that launched me pretty good. So more broken ribs. I hit a tree, and I didn't know it at the time because of adrenaline. But I walked over to my motorcycle, and the handlebars were all bent in. And I knew I broke ribs because ribs are so painful to break. And that is a painful, painful break. You know, like I've broken legs and it wasn't bad because they're straight up the bone. But the ribs, oh man, they suck. And then I tried to unbend my handlebars and I realized, holy crap, my shoulder is jacked up. So I had to get that operated on. And then I had I'm going to call it a helo crash. It's just a hard landing. You know, when it lands sideways, it's just hard landing. That's all. And then a vehicle crash and there was a couple incidences back to back to back. And I didn't know it, but I blew my L5S1 disc. And that got, you know, when you blow a disc, it just hurts. But after a bit, then you start getting, sciatica, and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. So I got that one done. And I tell, when guys ask, hey, man, I'm thinking about getting a discectomy. It's been bugging me for years. I'm like, bro, get that shit done, man. That is the easiest surgery I have ever had. That was like outpatient stuff. And that was in 97. I mean, I was out of the hospital the day after. I think I had to stay in the hospital one day for antibiotics or anti-inflammatories or something like that. And they said, you can put your pants on, you can leave. And I was gone, man. So if there's people out there, you know, that have that chronic nerve pain, you know, that sciatica, man, get that shit operated on because I did not know how bad I felt until I felt good with that.
Right. That's the way so many injuries are too. It's like you don't move, you don't realize how good you feel after or how bad you felt until after it's fixed and the pain's gone away.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I woke up in the recovery room, I thought, man, this is a foreign feeling. I feel good, man. I mean, I was like, my mood, everything was like, because I went a year and a half with that, which a lot of guys do. They're just like, more anti-inflammatories, and let me go to the chiropractor. Shouldn't gonna work, you know. I mean, it's gonna give you temporary comfort, but shouldn't gonna work. You got to get that shit fixed. And then because I got the same thing in my neck, I've got degenerative spine, herniated disc. But that one there, I opted not to get operated on because it doesn't bother me that much. My hands go numb when I sleep, so. You know, I have a problem sleeping. I have to sleep like a corpse. But getting a discectomy or surgery on your neck is very invasive. They got to go into the front, peel all that stuff open, and then work out that way. So it's fine. The neck's fine. It's not bugging me. I exercise it routinely.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're in your 50s now. And, you know, anybody who goes to your Instagram account, your social media stuff, they see the stuff you're doing. I mean, you're working in multiple planes with your movement. You move so well. was it always like that? Were you always able to move the way you did? Or after you got out, was there a period where you were kind of nursing things and did you have to pick things up?
Yeah, 100%. There was a time when I retired. I've always been somewhat fit. I mean, well, not always. Let's say from age 16 on, you know, wrestling and stuff like that. And I tell you, the fitness thing, man, as far as helping you recover from injury, you can't beat it. You know, because if I were out of shape during all those injuries, I would be an absolute wreck right now. You know, I would have been one of these disposable heroes who retires after 22, 23, 24 years and is barely able to walk. But there was a time when I retired where I got lazy. I got bumped out. And thankfully, I had a reawakening and I was able to rejuvenate and kind of jumpstart the system again. And I started following my own advice because I developed a system called combat strength training. And I started developing it right when I retired, but I wasn't even following my own advice. But about 4 years after I retired, I really started getting back into it again and mixing things up, moving around. And now it's all about, you know, motion is lotion. I had to put on my IG profile, born in 1965, because that's the question everybody asks. Bro, how old are you? They'll still ask it, even though it's written right there. But I don't even like to think about it, the age thing, because it's all about an attitude. You know, and if you're somebody who has been in a kind of a career that didn't lead to a lot of pounding and a lot of mileage on the feet, you really have no excuse. You know, you should be fit until the day you die. You know, a lot of us military guys, there's so much mileage and pounding, and you only have so much that stuff called cartilage. So you've got to get smart about how you exercise. Unfortunately, I started getting smart about it before I retired because I ran into a trainer and he said, at some point, you've got to think about self-preservation and longevity. You got to think stronger, longer. And thankfully, I was in my 30s then. And I went, you know what? Dude is right, man, because I'm not thinking about that at all. I'm grinding. I'm jumping off of stuff. I'm jumping off of buildings and, you know, doing combat rolls and maxing out lifts and, you know, running 10 miles here and just complete disregard to health, just all ego stuff. So, you know, motion is lotion. Mobility is survivability. You got to keep that stuff going. And so I'm fortunate to have really good functional flexibility, speed, quickness, strength, and like you said, in all planes of motion too. And I could go on and on about this, so I'm going to keep rambling for a second. But a lot of guys, couple faults with guys when they work out. One is they live in a sagittalistic world. It's a made up word. So sagittal, everything this way, bench press and curls and stuff like that.
Everything's forward, like, right?
What's that?
Everything's forward. Everything's forward.
So everything's sagittal. So they live in a sagittalistic environment. But we don't live there on a day-by-day basis. Whether your life is in a tactical world or not, you know, life-saving and ass-kicking take place in the transverse plane. You know, all that rotation stuff. So every day I do stuff, whether it's power or strength or speed, stuff in the transverse plane. Man, you know, I have passed that knowledge on to so many people, and they're pinging me years later saying, bro, you have saved my life. I was a piece of shit. My back was out of whack. I couldn't move. I had all these muscular imbalances. My pelvis was out of kilter, you know, but I am moving good now at, you know, 58, 62, whatever it is. The other thing that guys neglect is that they fall victim to a routine. You know, where they're doing the same thing day by day or week by week. And I like to say that routine is the playground of a dull mind. And that if what you do is routine, you could fall into that rut of complacent adaptation where you're no longer, all you're doing is maintaining a couple movements. You're not you're not making improvements on strength or speed or anything like that. And eventually it's going to catch up to you. Plus, if it's routine and you don't change stuff up, it's no good for your brain. I mean, strong body, strong mind. When you mix it up, you're exercising the brain as well.
Yeah. Having been in the conventional military back in the 90s and the early 2000s, back then it was kind of like, all right, you go out, you run 3 miles, you do your push-ups, you do your pull-ups. If you're weightlifting, you're doing bodybuilding stuff. And I think a lot of us fell into that mistake of doing the same thing all the time, because what we were training for, we were training for the PFT. We were training well on our physical test. We didn't really care about all the other stuff. Of course, we didn't want to fall out on humps. We wanted to do well on ranges and things like that, but we weren't training that stuff. And, I wish I knew then what I know now. And I wish we had methods of communication with people like you back then, because I think that I would have went through so many less injuries and so many less problems, and I would have been so much more prepared for the challenges that I was facing at the time.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. And so what I'm doing now is the most fun I have working, it should be fun. Working out should be fun. It should be interesting. It shouldn't be boring. It should be mundane. You shouldn't have to go, well, it's time for me to go to the gym. Here I go, and go through some motion. One of the most, I train 5 guys every day. So that drives me. That gets me there. And it starts my motivation process. And my challenge is to challenge them. So to give them stuff that we haven't done before. And the funnest thing is trying to recognize voids. What do I suck at? What part of me have I been neglecting? So I try to replicate a lot of real world movements. And I realized today too, I did something yesterday and I can't wait to talk to the guys I train, because I need to see if they're sore in the same spots. Because my back is sore and good sore, muscular sore. It's sore in different places than usually I never get sore because I'm always mixing stuff up. I'm sore in different places right now, so I can't wait to see if they're the same, because I came up with a couple hump dangers yesterday. Brings me up to another point. I did a motocross last night. I used to ride a lot of motocross. And a couple weeks ago, there's a guy who, I know through social media, he used to be a pro motocross racer, Ian Treadle. And he got massive TBI, was in a coma for a long time from a bike wreck. But he trains dudes now. And he brought me out and trained me. And I rode for a couple hours on this track. And he would give me tips. And he said, man, tomorrow you're going to be sore really bad. And I saw him a couple of days later. He said, were you sore? I said, no, man. Nothing was sore. That's great affirmation to know that I'm doing shit the right way. Additionally, I don't pound pavement anymore. I don't go out and run 5 miles. But my system says to work in anaerobic chunks in circuit to near metabolic threshold to meet an aerobic goal. So you're keeping the chassis moving for like 35 minutes. So you're getting that cardio in without having to pound the pavement.
Right.
And last year I went to the beach with my wife and I said, you know what? I'm going to go for a run. I haven't been for a jog in years. And I ran 4 miles and there was nothing to it. So once again, good affirmation. It's like, all right, good. I'm doing the right shit because I'm not freaking smoked from going out a jog.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I want to ask you, because you mentioned that you had an awakening after you'd gotten out. You sat around for like 4 years, kind of not really knowing what you were going to do. What was it that caused that awakening in you?
Well, I don't discuss it too much because I'm given, when I talk about this, I'm shorting folks of the real story behind it, because there was so much behind this. But I ran into and I didn't know it, and a lot of guys suffer from this when they have a long career, but I would ran into a, I was dealing with depression. And it was, and I almost capitulated to darkness. I was happy with being mediocre. I accepted. I mean, it wasn't like I was going to kill myself because I had little kids, so I wasn't suicidal. But I was like, I'm just happy being a piece of shit. I'm just happy just being mediocre. Not happy, content. You know, just accepting mediocrity, and almost capitulated just to say, you know, fuck it, I'm just not going to do anything. I have no goals, no aspirations, nothing. And it, this went on for years. This is years. This wasn't like a couple week thing. I can't explain how freaking bad it was, because I was in a bad relationship. And the partner in this relationship was addicted to prescription meds. And when you're on prescription meds and you're abusing them, you know, it's chemistry. People need prescription meds. I get that. But if you, it's chemistry. So you're talking milliliters, you know, you're talking, it's a balancing act. Plus there's counseling that goes along with that stuff. And you have to abide by that regimen. Otherwise it's useless. You're just a fucking junkie, but it, legal junkie, because there's some freaking psychologist, not a psychiatrist, psychologist doling that shit out. And it got to a point where this partner of mine, there was no more connection between the neuroreceptors. It was all darkness. You know, it was all very delusional, very paranoid. It was just horrible. It was every freaking day. It was almost every minute of every day. And I lived in a bonus room above my garage for almost 5 years. I lived in a bonus room, little teeny room. But I had to stay there for my kids' sake. That was what drove me to stay in that. But my son at the time, you know, little boys are just so freaking sweet, man, you know. And my kid at the time was super freaking sweet kid. He's probably five. And we're up in my bonus room watching something. I don't know, TV, whatever. It's just a show. And I was smashed out of my mind. It was probably 8 at night, but I was drinking, you know, in excess. It was every day. I would drink all day long. It wasn't, you know, all day long. I would drink all day. And I told my son, back up a step. It's dark outside, and a little screech owl landed right on my window. And he's facing this way. The window's over here. And I said, James, look at the window. And he looks over, and I could see his eyes, you know, just go, because it's right in front of us, you know, this little screech owl. It's cool. It's getting lit up by this lampshade that's right by the window. But, you know, I was living vicariously through him, and I told him, I said, hey, James, I don't just love you. I am in love with you. And he started crying, you know. It was very, like, he got that. You know what I mean? He understood that. I mean, that little brain processed that. But I put him to bed, and I realized, man, I have got to be, you know, I got to be super dad for this kid forever. You know, I've got to do this. So I, back to the running thing again. I put up my running shoes right on my bed, put my running, shorts out or whatever, just PT clothes, and put up my, charge my iPod, and, set my alarm for early. Got up, chugged water, and went for a run. No plan. Ended up being 10 or 12 miles. It was like an hour and 20 minutes, this run. And I felt good. I mean, I was hoofing it. And I come back, and I'm pretty out of shape at this point, too, because I'm not working out the way I was supposed to. I come back in my driveway, and I called the house. I called it the house where dreams go to die. So I stayed in my driveway, and I was starving after that run. But I stayed in my driveway for about another hour and a half, and I had some dumbbells in the driveway, and I just did push-ups, sit-ups, presses for like another hour and a half until I almost passed out. But it was that jump start right there kind of rejuvenated. It reminded me who the hell I am. You know, this is who you are. You can get up at any freaking moment and run 10 miles, you know, on your worst day. And I remembered, you know, who I was at that point. And I I said, man, I could accomplish this. And I had no idea what I could accomplish, but I said, man, I could do things. I could make a good life for me. I am going to do my best to make lemonades out of lemons, because that's all I had at the time was lemons. And it was the same day. I was so smoked the same day, because I got in my car and I was driving to town to get something to eat because I didn't want to go inside of the house. And I did some errands, this and that. And now it's about 11 in the morning. And one of the local cops called me, and he called me. I said, hey, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. He says, I'm at your home. So I went to my home, and he's in the driveway. He says, hey, man, I ran into your wife, and she's stoned out. It was like 11, stoned out of her mind, incoherent, this and that. And the cops have been to my house about 5 times, you know, because of reports that I'm bugging the house and all the protecting boards for the light switches were taken off, and she's showing them how I'm bugging the house because there's blue washers and all this stuff. But they've been in my house 5 times. And they knew me. They knew who I was. This one cop said, hey, you need to get the fuck out of here. And I looked at him like, and I said, what? He says, the kids will understand. They will get it. Kids are resilient. You need to save yourself, and you need to get out of here. Bro, I just freaking broke down like I was a schoolgirl. I broke down. I was like, holy shit. Somebody freaking understands what's going on? There's no way. Because I was all alone. Nobody. So I had that good one, him telling me get the hell out. He's like giving me permission, you know? And the weight that was lifted off me, this is 5 years. It was bad before that, but 5 years was horrible. And that day I went and looked for a place, and I found one that was 500 yards away from my house. Just a little condo. They moved all my shit that day. I was like, oh, God. This is the beginning. This is the beginning. This is the new. I had to start like all over again. I was 48 years old. I had to start it all over again. That was almost 7 years ago now. All wow. Over. Yeah. But the thing is, you know, it's never too late to start life over. You know. So what I get with guys is I get rough patches. I get being miserable. I get depression. I get lack of confidence, even, because I had that lack of confidence in my ability as a fucking human being. Even. But so if I were to change one thing about my life in my past, it would be absolutely nothing, because I am living my best life right now. And had I not gone through that crap, I would not be the person who I am today. And it pains me when I say that, because I would hate to put anybody else through that again, and I would hate to put myself through it again, but I would absolutely 100% do all that shit again. 100%. Yep, 100%. Because I like that I am the best version of me now, and the relationship that I'm in is it's really good. Everything's good. I'm at the top of my game right now.
That's absolutely amazing. And the thing is, there's a lot of guys with similar stories out there as far as being in partnerships where that are so bad that they think they're going insane. Like, you think you're crazy. You think you're nuts. Because you think it's your fault. You think you're doing something wrong. And the thing is, because I was in a similar situation, really, really bad partnership. And then somebody like cleared my eyes, and I literally packed my shit in the garbage bags, moved out, lived in my car for a while, and did the same thing. And you're right. When you make that decision, it's like a new beginning, and you could do absolutely anything. And I wish... I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I wish more guys could come to that kind of epiphany.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? A lot of them do. And I am very fortunate to have a platform, you know, like social media. I have a pretty broad base. I mean, it's pretty extensive. So I am able to, I'm able to do that. I'm able to help guys out, you know, because of that footprint I have on social media. So, and a lot of them, they'll just watch something like this right here. You know, they'll watch a podcast that I'm doing and all they write in is, "Hey, thanks." That's it. And that's fine. Cause I know that either small or grandiose, I help that dude out in some way. And, it's very fulfilling. You know, you get a real good sense of accomplishment from that right there.
Hey guys, I hope you're getting a lot out of this interview. You know, the Warrior Soul podcast is built with the mission to empower its listeners to live absolutely epic lives. And that's why we recently created a group called the Warriors Obituary Society. This group is built to empower its members to live epic lives worthy of epic obituaries. And it starts with an 8-week development program. And with this development program, what you're going to do is you're going to outline a vision for your life. You're going to get very specific about what you want. Because without that specificity, you don't know where you're going and you don't know what you're doing. From there, we help our members to develop specific goals, objectives that they are going to push toward, and that their fellow members of the Warriors Obituary Society are going to hold them accountable to. From there, we're getting down into specifics. We're going to help you to develop and customize your own personal fitness and nutrition plan to help to fuel your body and fuel your mind for the quest ahead. From there, we're going to work on your personal finances. We're going to help you to knock down debt. We're going to help you to start saving money and to create a plan so that you can start investing in your dreams. Then we're going to get into your business and career. We're going to help you to develop the skills that you need to develop yourself so that you can have a major impact in the field you choose. If you choose to go into business, we're going to help you to set up the foundations that you need to create your own company and get started on your path in life. From there, we're going to be working on your relationships. We're going to help you to develop a world-class network. And all along the way, you're going to have your fellow members of the Warriors Obituary Society pushing you in every single area. We meet once a week over a live call, and we're constantly communicating over our own private forum on Slack. We don't do anything over social media, and that's because I don't want anybody feeling like anyone's looking over their shoulders, and I don't want you exposed to the crazy, distracting alerts that you get on Facebook and some of the other social media platforms. Normally, programs like this cost thousands of dollars. This one does not. For the price, it is the best development program on the internet. And that's because our mission here at Warrior Soul is to empower people to get more out of life so that they can in turn make the world a better place. We've got a great mix of active duty military, U.S. military veterans, and civilians in this group. We wanted to keep it really eclectic so that we get a lot of different types of views up there and a lot of different people with different areas of expertise. If you think that this is something that would be of interest to you, and that this is something that could empower you to live your absolute best life, head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com. That's www.warriorobituarysociety.com, and you can sign up today. And if you have any questions about it, just reach out to me at chris@warriorsoulagoge.com. That's C-H-R-I-S @warriorsoulagoge.com. I'm happy to even sit down with you for a phone call for a few minutes to see if the group is right for you. I look forward to seeing you guys in there, and let's get back to this awesome interview.
When did you realize you had that kind of power with the social media? Because you're not from the social media generation, right? It was probably something new and foreign to you at first. When did you realize you could pick up that phone and do that?
Well, I got into the social media game late, and initially I just felt like another, you know, social media douchebag until I figured out how to use it. And then, you know, I'm a YouTuber, and what the YouTube started doing was just motivating me. That was it, you know, just feel good, motivation. It was like, hey, thanks for putting out those vids. You motivated me. You gave me a different way to train. Then I started putting out the workout stuff. And then I realized, okay, so that's where I live on social, is all positive message. There's nothing visceral. There's nothing true. There's nothing. That's also a reflection of that person. When they're putting out negative crap on the interweb, dude, that's with intent, man. That's with, you know, that's with intent to help, to hope that others feel bad in the process. So I want to make sure that the message is positive. So for the longest time, it was like, hey, man, great content and great for, you know, motivation. It's uplifting. But the first time I talked personal, like about depression, was on the Joe Rogan podcast. And he's got a substantial platform and a substantial following. And that's when I really realized, holy crap, man, because my shit blew up after that. It blew up. And I could get off right now and look at IG or Facebook messages and have guys thank me for doing that podcast right now. Still every day. And this was last March. This is almost a year ago. Mm-hmm. So they're still watching that. And now the challenge is to keep up with the correspondence. You know, even if it's just acknowledging that I read, you know, send them horns up, something like that. Because there's, it used to be hundreds and hundreds during the day. Now it's still hundreds and hundreds during the week. But I'm still able to, you know, I spend time in the morning and at night on that social just to answer guys and just to give them a rock and roll, you know, horns up, whatever. It's just as simple as that. Because I realized too that matters. That matters, you know, that giving a dude, and you have no idea. You have no idea, man. Because a lot of guys I helped out, they say, hey, can I come to your gym and work out with you too? Which is a great thing. I love doing that. I bring guys to my gym all the time. They always ask, can I get one day of working out with you? I go, hell yeah, bro. Come on. Because sometimes people, all they need is just that one good day. It's that jump start. It's like going for that run. So I like to know that I am, for some reason, able to do that, able to pass on this positive vibe and positive attitude. I tell my wife all the time, I go, Rebecca, I'm helping out so many people. I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea. She goes, yeah, just keep being you. You know, she you have a hard time faking it. So I'm like, all right. Because I'll link up with guys that can come to my gym and I'll know a piece of, you know, they're bummed out, they're depressed after they got out of the military. But I'll start hearing their backstory and I'm going, oh my God, dude, your life has sucked. Wow. I mean, when people piss and moan about the most trivial shit, I think about guys like this, you know, who were brought up in orphanages and they were bad and they were beaten. And both their parents died of cancer. They were 14. They went into the military, and then they got out. And then they had a horrible relationship. And then they had cancer and were able to beat it. This is all the same person, you know? And there's tons of people I meet like that. There's tons of them, you know? So when people hit me up with trivial shit, like I remember this one guy. He hit me up. He goes, hey, I'm bummed out. I appreciate you disclosing what you did on the JRE podcast. Because I'm having some depression and I hate it because I have kids who love me and a supporting wife. And I told him, I said, bro, fuck you. Snap the fuck. If you have kids who love you and a supporting wife, put a rubber band around your neck and snap the fuck out of it. Sorry. But you've got a great thing going on. Don't jack that up, man. Go work out. Go get yourself, you know, a good meal or something and find a hobby. But hell no. There's some guys I don't want to hear about it because people have it. A lot of people have had it pretty freaking bad, man. You know, and then you look on the other hand, I know guys who have lost several limbs in the military and, man, their attitude's out of this world, you know, they're on top of the world. Like, ah, whatever, bro, I'm alive and I'm able to read and still go fishing because I got this arm. And, you know, it's like, that's what bad looks like,
yeah.
Right there. So if he can do that shit, why can't you? My doorbell just rang.
You got to get it?
No.
What I was going to say is, like, you know, the other thing is, I mean, when you think about all the people who have ever lived on this planet and all the different times and places throughout history, and like the fact that, you know, 150 years ago, kings and queens weren't living as well as most of us are today. Like, we've got more technology in our pocket that it took to put a man on the moon. Even if your life completely sucks, I mean, there's still something there to keep you going, right?
They're banging again. I gotta get
it. Go ahead and grasp it, brother. Go ahead and grab it.
All right. Hold on.
Oh,
about?
Oh, nice.
20 pounds of venison.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. That's outstanding.
So, I'm sorry, kings and queens. Yep.
Yeah, what I was saying is that, you know, if you think about the fact that, I mean, 150, even like 100 years ago, I mean, kings and queens weren't living as well as like the average person in America today. Like the things we have in our lives, that the opportunity we have in front of us. I mean, being able to start a business over social media, being able to communicate with people, being able to learn about all the things we get to learn about. I mean, literally, you can learn about anything in seconds. Like, it's all in your pocket. Right. And even if your life sucks, I mean, there's still a lot of opportunity out there to turn things around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some people just need, because there's a lot of people who just live in, you know, they live in their little bubble and, you know, they're pretty content, but they have no idea what they can be or what they can succeed in, because nobody has really been given any guidance. You know, or they haven't been given permission to be a really good version of themselves. Sometimes they need permission. You know, hey man, you could be something more than what you are right now. You do not have to pick that low hanging fruit. You know, there is opportunity out there, and sometimes it just starts with, you know, taking a night class or something like that. Just getting yourself a little bit more education. Yeah, I agree 100%.
You know, the other thing is that I noticed about you and what you've done, you've got this amazing and remarkable balance to your life too, because you have this intense training that you're doing. You have the whole physical thing. You have the fact that you're training others, but you've also, you started a new relationship. You've got a great wife. You're a family man. And, you know, how were you able to move on from that bad relationship, start a new one, and find happiness there?
Bro, you know what? I think people like me are at their happiest because they've endured that shit storm, you know? So when I go to my local pub or when people say, how are you going? I'm never one of these douchebags who goes, well, I'm vertical. Well, I'm still alive and still kicking. I always say, man, I am awesome. Always. And because it's kind of the way I feel too. I can have a pretty poopy day, but I'm still awesome, man, because I know what shit is. I know what it is. And I'm not talking just, you know, a lot of, plus us military guys know what, you know, living in squalor feels like, and being miserable and cold and hungry and tired and cooking in the heat and all that stuff, you know, so we know what that is too. But I know what suck is, and the suck that I endured after military life was way more than anything that I had endured in the military, way more. Mm-hmm. So the balance is easy, you know. I look forward to every tomorrow. Today I look forward to every tomorrow. I live by a couple of mantras too. Like, one is, you wake up in the morning, Jerry Rice, football player in the 90s, Hall of Famer, said, I will do today what others won't, so I can do tomorrow what others can't. Man, if you could say that every morning and think about that, dude, put that in your pipe and smoke it, shit, man. You know? And then I want to look forward to the tomorrow, you know, the night before. So I still live by waiting. Like I did in the military. I jot out a couple notes. These are the things I want to accomplish. And right first thing in the morning, accomplish these things. And I have minutes. I literally have minutes during the day. I have no time because I have three of my own businesses. And I got 6 or 7 side projects. I can't even keep track of them. So my big whiteboard keeps track of those, you know, all the big stuff that I'm supposed to do, all my implied tasks. My little whiteboard are the small intermediate tasks that I want to accomplish during the day. But I want to make sure that I look forward to the next morning. Think about, you know, getting up. I look at the weather and go, oh, man, it's supposed to be raining. It'll be nice to hear the rain in the morning. You know, I mean, nobody wants to hear the rain in the morning, but the thing is, if you look forward to it, it's like, oh, that's rain. I'm inside and I'm not wet. It's raining and it's cold now. And another thing I look forward to is I want to beat my wife out of bed so I can bring her a cup of coffee. You know, so that's accomplishment number one for the day right there. And then I want to, you know, it's little shit. I mean, I want to make bacon and make my dogs a slice each. Because, dude, they're just so freaking fired up. God, Dad's making bacon for us. You know, and then get them on a walk. Because, you know, I'm their dude, man. I'm the dog's dude. So get them on a walk and, you know, see the world through their eyes. But, yeah, man, I don't necessarily like the grind. And I'm getting, to be honest, with my job, this year it hit me, I'm getting worn out, man. I mean, worn out. Because I've been pushing hard, doing like 4 courses a month for the past several years. And a lot of that's because of alimony. So I've got to maintain that pace for a few more years. But next year, I've decided I'm going to dial it back, do fewer courses because they're smoking me. I had pneumonia this past summer, pneumonia, because I ran into exhaustion, then pneumonia, and because I was doing back-to-back-to-back courses. Lost 10 pounds. I have nothing on me to lose. Nothing. There's no, I mean, it's all just skin around my whole body.
Right.
So next year I'm going to dial back and I'm going to try to leverage, you know, like social media and the interweb and do some other things. I got some other plans and then develop more product, do some more writing because I write for Athlon Outdoors, for Combat Handguns and Ballistic Magazine. So do some more of that stuff too.
In your opinion, where are most men most unprepared? Whether it be in protection of their house, whether it be in trying to figure out egresses, things like that. Where should people start when it comes to stuff like that?
Yeah, I got it. I'm going to write it down because I got a backstory on it first. I think this is an easy one for me to answer, but I'm going to still get a little bit long-winded. So Be the Agent in Charge of Your Own Executive Protection Detail is the subtitle of my book, Sentinel. And so you take what an executive protection detail and you whittle it down to micro level. What can everyday Joe Schmo, me, you, the people next door do that an executive protection detail does on a micro level to help make sure that your wife, your family, your kids are just safe. And I'm not paranoid. There's no paranoia here. Guys, when I post stuff like these Sentinel sermons, these Sunday Sentinel sermons on the IG, guys say, bro, you're so fucking paranoid, you know? And I'm like, I'm glad that I live in Canada and I don't live in safe America. Like, hey, man, I'm talking fire, natural disaster, power outage, that kind of shit, you know? Not just zombie apocalypse and a gang of thugs at the Walmart. I'm talking not in terrorists. I'm talking just everyday crap, man, could be falling down the steps. So the answer is now, we human beings, this is my opinion, are kind of devolving. We're relinquishing our natural defense mechanisms as a human being, mobility, intuition, situational awareness. So what I tell guys, where you start, number one, because it drives me crazy. When I see a dude walking up the road with his wife, he's not on the roadside. He's on the inboard side of the road. He's not holding her hand. He's wearing flip-flops, and he's got his phone down here. He's in 45-degree syndrome. I'm like, that's not a dude right there. That's not Sentinel. So number one, situation awareness. It's as simple as that. And you know, when I'm in my home, I'm in the white. So Cooper's color code, white to red. You know, with red, you're fighting for your life. White is zombie mode. When I'm out, as soon as I go out, I'm in the yellow. I don't need to be in the orange like an executive protection detail is. That's exhausting. But just in the yellow. You know, just aware. So that's where guys need to start. They don't need to go out and get a bunch of guns and become a ninja, because that takes that's a lifetime. But situation awareness and intuition is built into your hard drive. Just don't relinquish that. You know, rejuvenate that. Rekindle or restart that fire. You know, put some kindling on that fire, on that situation awareness fire. Because that's the one thing that can keep you safer more than anything. You know, and it, you know, the old lady who her car's run away because she hit the gas pedal instead of the brake. It could be a patch of ice that nobody's seen because everybody's looking down their phones. Whatever it is, just situationally aware. Because man, at the end of the day, that can mitigate a lot of burglaries, muggings, home accidents, accidents out in the street, accidents in your car. I mean, people are switched off in their car, and I assume right now that most people driving are distracted. That's my assumption. Most. I'm going to say most are distracted. You know, when you look into other cars, most people are on a cell phone. They got it in their hand. Even if they're driving, it's in their hand. You know, but when you hit a stoplight, everybody's looking at their cell phone. So I guess I'm the one on security, because I'm not. I'm the only one on security right now. But, yeah, that's my advice. Stay situationally aware when you're outside of your home.
That's awesome advice. And you said the book, the Sentinel book, where can people find that book?
It's on all the usual suspects, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, that kind of thing. I'm going to order some more, too, at the beginning of the year, so I can have signed copies that I can send people.
Awesome. Yeah. We'll get the links to that up on the show notes for this episode. And, I mentioned your Instagram. What's your YouTube channel called?
Pat Mack.
Pat Mack. And your Instagram is PMAX, right?
TMAX. Yep. TMACSINC. TMAX Inc.
TMAX Inc. Yeah. I have to say your Instagram is one of the best accounts out there as far as training goes, as far as motivation goes. I absolutely love it. Love checking it every day. It's a great account to follow.
Right on. Thanks, man. Yeah, I have fun with it. And I'm very, very careful about because we, once again, because we've devolved, our attention span has been reduced. Like, kids' attention span now is less than that of a goldfish. Yeah, so I'm careful. You know, I make sure that messages are short, clear, and concise, and that as soon as it comes on, it's captivating. So you're seeing, feeling information, or hearing it right away. Yeah, I'm careful about it.
No, you're really great about that. And the segments, I mean, they're short, but they're so helpful. And there's a lot of great stuff on there. Well, Pat, number one, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing all this stuff with us and sharing your story. Number two, I want to let everybody out there know, you know, Pat's done a lot of work here. He's put a lot of great stuff out in the world. Definitely go and check him out. And beyond that, you know, take some of the lessons from this episode. There's always a potential for a new start. There is always a potential to live your best life. I think that's the big message here. Pat's doing it. He's pushed forward through his own trials and tribulations, and you can do that too. It's just going to take a bit of effort here, right? Pat, any last words for the audience out there?
No, I appreciate the audience listening. That's it. And I thank you for having me on. It's been good.
Awesome. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back at you later on this week with some more awesome content. Get out there and live your best lives while you can. This is Chris and Pat, and we are out.
All right, guys, there you have it. That is our interview with Mr. Pat McNamara. If you want to learn more about Pat or see more of Pat's stuff, you can head over to his Instagram. It's the letter T, Max Inc., T-Max Inc. You can also head over to his main website, which is tmaxinc.com. And if you're interested in training with Pat, you can head over to combatstrengthtraining.com. He's got a book out there. The book is called Sentinel. It's about being the agent in charge of your own personal protection agency. And he's got a new podcast out there, The University of Badassery. So be sure to check all this stuff out. I'm going to have links to all this stuff up on the show notes, including Pat's book. I definitely suggest that you get the book, you check out Pat's Instagram, and you check out the rest of his stuff. Beyond that, I want to thank you guys so much for listening to the Warrior Soul podcast. Like I said, we've been going for 3 years strong and we are growing every week. I'm seeing those downloads add up. Like I said at the beginning of the show, if you can find it in your heart to head over to iTunes and write us a written rating and review, that is the only thing we really ask of you. I don't ask you for money. We do this show for free. We bring it to you every single week, 3 times a week. We just need to spread the word. We need to get this information into the ears of more veterans. And by you writing a review, you're going to help us to do so. If you want to support the podcast in other ways, we do have a shop. It is up at warriorsoul.shop. We've got t-shirts, some of the best t-shirts in the world, made and printed by U.S. Marine Corps veterans up in our Santa Barbara print shop. So definitely check that out. And if you want to support yourself by joining the Warriors Obituary Society, you can head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com. And like I said during the announcement, if you check it out and have some questions, just email me. I'll be happy to sit down on a call with you to talk about your goals, to see if you're right for the group and if the group is right for you. We also have a Patreon. If you want to support the show in other ways, you can head over to www.patreon.com/warriorsoulpodcast. But if you don't want to do any of that, that is okay too. All I ask you for is the review. So thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back at you later on this week with another awesome episode. We got Forrest Munden, the creator of the Salty Soldier, coming on, and 2020 is going to be a great year. So I wish you and your family a happy new year. Now, take charge of it. You're still living. You're still breathing. Get out there. Live your best life while you can. And we'll be talking to you soon. This is Chris